If you would please remain standing and take out your Bibles and turn to
Hebrews.
There we go.
Chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today, and we thank you for your word that is so clear. It shows us how you move in so many things, and help us to really get your heart today, Lord, and not just kind of what we want. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint me for the preaching of your word. Your people don't need to hear from me, Lord. They need to hear from you. So I pray that you would please, God, use me for your glory and for your purposes. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Praise God. I'm getting a little bit of a hum. Is that okay? Just wanted to make sure it wasn't me. Well, this is an interesting section of Scripture. It's really powerful. Because there are some Christians who want to use their faith in Christ as a means to win comfort and happiness in this world. It's the whole, your best life now. It's kind of that, it's this belief in this way, that if you have enough faith, then you are going to prosper in all you do here on this earth. You're going to be healthy. You won't get sick. If you do, you just claim that you're not sick and it's gone. You're going to be wealthy. It's what we would call the prosperity gospel. And the problem is, when you look at Scripture, some of the great saints that are in there, it doesn't support their life. Think of Paul himself. You know, I'm imprisoned, I've been beaten, I've been all... Doesn't sound like he was very victorious if you put it in those parameters that the prosperity gospel preaches. And the problem, too, is here in Hebrews chapter 11, because that's refuted over and over again. What we see is that because a glorious outcome, in other words, things work out great, just like the prosperity gospel might say, or whether there's this prolonged struggle in your life, you know, it just seems like things are hard all the time. It's not determined by your faith, but rather it's God's purpose in each situation. We'll see that faith trusts and obeys God, leaving the results to his sovereignty and his wisdom. What we see here in this section of Scripture is that sometimes what God does is he blesses with spectacular results, phenomenal results. Take a look at God's word again. Hebrews chapter 11, 33 through 35. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Put me in that group. I want to sign up for that one right there. I want to go on an adventure with God, and that's the adventure I want to go on. right there. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. What we see here is there are, as we read through this section of Hebrews, we see that God is showing that sometimes he intervenes in spectacular ways through miracles. Okay? If you go back a couple of verses, you see what it's talking about is he's talking about, okay, and by faith, the nation of Israel passed through the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea. We would say that's a pretty phenomenal miracle right there. And that's a great outcome, and we're saying, amen, that's what we want. And so we have those types of things, is that what God does is he takes the way nature normally runs or normally happens, and he breaks that trend. Water doesn't normally stand up. And so that's a miracle. And we see that God is doing miracles. It also, as you continue to read in this section, just a few verses above in front of 33, it's talking about the walls of Jericho coming down. That's a miracle. Absolutely phenomenal. And but there are other ways that God kind of, what he does is he blesses in with spectacular results. And these are less or extraordinary ways that God uses his sovereignty to control the situation. For example, again, go back in chapter 11, a little farther back. It says this, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months from Pharaoh. You go, that's not that big of a deal, right? But it's saying so in Scripture. It says, by faith. And that's a pretty good outcome because then he ends up going and being raised up in Pharaoh's home. So we look at that and we go, yeah, that's a pretty great thing that happened right there. We see that probably in the midst of those situations, it probably wasn't real comfortable in some of those cases. We see that Moses was hidden. Also, if you go down, you look at it, it talks about Rahab. You know, so you've got crossing the Red Sea, miraculous. Moses' parents hiding them for 3 days. Still good result, but not quite as phenomenal as far as fireworks. And then we have the walls of Jericho collapsing. Yeah, amen. Then you got Rahab. She's a prostitute. She kind of hid the spies. And when the spies came into the city, she was spared. Okay, doesn't sound too phenomenal, but she was happy with the results, right? And so we see these two differences here described in this section of Scripture. We see that out of the weakness came some incredible things. And, you know, I was thinking as I was going through this, I was thinking about our offering for Prince Paul and for the well. We're looking at that from our end, right? We're saying, oh, all we're going to do is put money in a envelope. We're going to gather it together. But look at it from the people who are receiving it. Look at it from their end. What? We're going to be able to dig a new well and have toilets? Who's providing this? Then you know Prince Paul. He's saying God provided this. What a testimony to these people that they would look and they would see the hand of God. And we would say it's nothing really spectacular from their perspective. This is an incredible thing that God is going to do, going to bless them. You know, again, it's not the flashy thing, but it's God working something for his glory, that the outcome for the people, the children, the women in the sewing class being able to drink clean, fresh water and having a few toilets. It's just amazing. You know, what we see is that when we look at this list, some of those things were difficult to go through. You know, I mean, the walls of Jericho, you're marching around 7 times, you're tiring, you know, you're getting tired. It's not easy, and you're probably wondering, is God really going to do this as you're walking around? And so there were struggles here. It doesn't mean that it was without challenges. But the other side is this, that out of their weakness came strength from the Holy Spirit. You think of Daniel walking into the lion's den, as it says here, and the mouths of the lions shut. You know, he didn't know what was going to happen, but he kept moving forward. And out of his own weakness, God provided strength to handle that challenge. And all those things that were listed were accomplished only by God's power. That's how it happened. It wasn't people's faith. They had greater faith, so the walls came down or the Red Sea parted. Listen, all those accomplishments were only through God's power, through imperfect people. That's what I love. It was just imperfect people. They weren't super saints. They were just people that that struggled. We talked about Abraham last week. He failed more tests than he passed in the beginning. And so what we see is that these things were accomplished through imperfect people, but what they did was they obeyed what God told them to do, no matter how crazy it sounded, and they placed their faith in him. They trusted God. And they were trusting God to do the impossible. They were trusting God that if he didn't come through, they were going to fail miserably. What about you? Have you been on an adventure like that with God? You don't realize it, but you are. God has given this church a vision to plant churches. And I have heard from people saying, that's impossible. And I said, that's great. They look at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, this is really good because we know we can't do this. If this happens, it's got to be God, right? We're going to step back and in 5 years and whatever it is, God's working in us. He's building up his church. We're able to go into our communities, first of all, and be a church to where God planted us, but also to send out a group. And you know what? That's got to be God, because if he doesn't do it, we're going to fail. And you say, well, that's not that big of a deal. It's not like parting the Red Sea. I get it. But from some people's perspective, it is like parting the Red Sea, because it can't happen with La Crescent Free. Well, you know what? I'm putting all my chips in on God, and I'm going to put it in such a place that if God doesn't show up, we're going to fail. And I'm good with that, because our God has a record of glorifying his name through weak people doing great things for the glory of God. Amen. You know, sometimes by faith, God doesn't have spectacular results from the world's perspective. Sometimes things are just rough, and it seems like it's constantly going on day after day. Sometimes by faith, God blesses individuals with grace to endure suffering. Take a look. Again, God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, 34 through 38. Take a look at this. Go back to 34. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we first look at those two seemingly different lists, we don't want to sign up for the second half, do we? I mean, I want to be in the first group. But the second group is also being blessed by God. Because you see, what happens is that, again, if we go to the prosperity gospel, they would say that this group that's going through all these sufferings has less faith than the first group. They have less faith because they're not getting the positive results. If they just had more faith, then it would turn out really good from the world's perspective. But you could argue that the second half, this list, has greater faith than those in the first list, not less. And the reason being is that the true test of faith is trusting God in the face of disaster, in the face of trials, in the face of struggles. How easy is it to follow God when things are going well, right? But when things start coming apart, when the wheels come off the wagon, and life is tough, and the enemy whispers in your ear, God doesn't love you, do you hold on to your faith? See, those are the times that God builds us up. That's why I say the true test of faith is during the hard times. And that's why I want to say this, that I have heroes here at La Crescent Free Church, and you don't even know it. It's those of you that I know are suffering with chronic pain. Life is tough. I mean, I see myself as such a wimp. About 2 years ago, for 3 hours I had vertigo. 3 hours, right? I'm begging God to take my life. I'm just being honest. And I know why God did it. At least I think I know. So I would have compassion on people in that area. And I remember how miserable I was. And I kept thinking, I don't know how people do this. I know people that have vertigo all the time. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. I know some of you are struggling with RA, rheumatoid arthritis. Some of you are struggling with other physical issues. And I'm telling you, man, I just see you going day in and day out, trusting Jesus. And yeah, you have your ups and downs. I get that. But you continue to hold on to your faith. And I want you to know you are some of my heroes in this church. Because you see, from my perspective, that is great faith. That is great faith. It's amazing to see that. That God would continue to grant you the grace to go through that. Just as we, Paul here. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was for Paul. We don't know what it was. Was it something physical? Was it a spiritual attack? We don't know. But all we know is it didn't make him very happy. And he asked God to remove it. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And so what was his response? Okay, this is my lot in life. This is my lot in life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to praise God in my weakness. In my struggles, in my battles, I'm going to praise God. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am struggling, when things go up and down, when my faith is just being tested, when I am weak, then I am strong. And we see this here, just a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture of God's grace. Again, by faith, they did all these things happen by faith. And look at this, kind of trashes the whole prosperity gospel. Because you see in verse 34, they escaped the edge of the sword. And then you go a little farther down in verse 37, and it says they were killed with the sword. And both of them were by faith. Where does that fit in the prosperity gospel? It doesn't. Because the prosperity gospel is not the gospel. And what you see here is the grace of God being poured out on his people, sometimes delivering them, sometimes not. But God constantly blessing people, enabling them to do his work for his glory, regardless of how the world views it. And that's the challenge, because these people in the second group, what happens is that... From the world's perspective, they're defeated people. From the world's perspective, they're disposable people. And you say, why do you say that? Look at how they were treated by the world. Isaiah was the one that traditionally they thought was sawed in half. And we look at this and we say, you know what? From the world's perspective, these people were disposable. They weren't winners. They didn't accomplish in life what they should have. They should have been more of a benefit to society, whatever it might be. But you know how God sees them? Because that's all that really matters. From God's perspective, they are conquerors. They are overcomers. And the world is not worthy of them. That's what the Word of God says. Not just them, but even the previous group. Take a look again at God's Word. Hebrews 11:38, of whom the world was not worthy. He's talking specifically about those who were tortured and all the things that happened there, but all of them, but especially that group. And then we go to Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. in Christ Jesus our Lord. We like to claim that verse, right? Do you claim it in those contexts? Right? And how about these Philippians 1:21 and 4:13? For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Or 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Wow. We claim the big stuff, right? The passing, crossing the Red Sea, and all that stuff. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How about the suffering? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it, Lord, because he's going to grant the grace. He's going to grant the ability to hang in there. Even in prolonged struggles with affliction and constant mistreatment and abject poverty is what it's talking about here. Their faith was steady. They kept holding on to Jesus. And Jesus was their joy, is their joy and their treasure. He is enough for them, even in the tough times. What a beautiful picture of God's grace, God empowering people. If you're struggling today with whatever it might be, a physical ailment or whatever struggles it is, do you realize how God's grace is being poured on you, out on you day by day as you can handle what's happening? That's an incredible thing. It's a gift from God. How blessed. Although, like I said earlier, it doesn't feel like it sometimes. And the reason the world wasn't worthy of them is because their life of faith was a living witness to all around them that the Lord is sufficient, that the Lord is superior to anything that this life can give or that death can take away. That's why the world wasn't worthy, because they were living gospel that Jesus is enough. And it doesn't matter what this world has or doesn't have, Jesus is enough. No matter what happens to me in this life, Jesus is enough. He is all I need. He is my joy. He is my strength. In the midst of what the world would perceive as great victories or what the world would perceive as just tough battles that don't seem to end, Jesus is enough. And we can live in any circumstance in life if our sufferings and our trials are met with faith in a great sovereign Lord, and that we would live for eternity and not this place. Our eyes would be on Jesus. You remember last week I talked about the problem with many of us is that we have such a small God. And years ago, for quite a few years, this church preached, we wanted you to have a big God. We want you to have a huge God. See all of God's glory and put your hope in a great God. And as we go through difficult times, that great God is who we focus in on. We say, Lord, you are so wonderful. You are so worthy. And we focus and we trust in him and we put our eyes on eternity. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. How did they make it through some of these things? Because their eyes were not on this world. They were foreigners. They were aliens in a strange country is what happened. And they focused on something, but it wasn't here and now because this is so temporary. It's a blink of an eye and it's gone. And the next 1 million years or whatever it is in earth time for all eternity will be with the Lord. And again, we focus on God's promises. Take a look. This is continuing on. All of these verses are in chapter 11. So what you see is a pattern happening over and over and over again in the chapter that is the hall of fame of faith. What is faith? Describes it in the first verse. Then we get to 6. Take a look. 39 through 40. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. You see this beauty in bringing the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints together under the cross of Jesus Christ. Just beautiful right there. And then it goes on in verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Isn't that what he's talking about here? That God is going to reward them for trusting in him and their faith. In verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. We talked about that a couple of weeks. They're looking not to this earth. They're looking to the next life. Life after life. They're saying, you know, that's a better life. And then finally in verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Talking about Joseph there. What we see here is that they were willing to sacrifice their present comfort because they were confident that God exists. The God of the Bible exists. And that he will bless all who trust them or trust him for their eternal salvation. And with that comes the greatest treasure of all, Jesus Christ. All the rest of the stuff is secondary, but he's there. And all those promises God will fulfill. We talked about that, that this is the foundation of faith. Way back when, a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, 5-6 weeks ago, when I started this kind of mini-series on faith, we laid this down. What was the foundation of faith? It is the conviction. Strongly convinced. We are strongly convinced that the biblical unseen God exists. And we are absolutely sure that he will reward all who seek him. He will do that. That's faith. And everything after that was building off of that. These brothers and sisters gained approval. They were commended through their faith, yet none of them received the promise. Jesus. They died before they saw God fulfill his promise of a Messiah, of a Redeemer. They never saw the Messiah, but they believed, by God's grace, they believed that God would fulfill his promise. I said, you know what? We believe you, Lord. We believe you. They only saw the Messiah in types and shadows. We talked about that last week, Abraham offering his son, Isaac, and how that was a beautiful picture of the Father offering Christ for us. And they saw the types of shadows, the sacrifices, the sacrificial system that was set up, all these other things, the blood on the doorposts in Egypt, all these types and shadows of a coming Messiah, yet they didn't see him. But we see. We see Jesus, don't we? All we have to do is open up the pages of the New Testament, and there he is in all his glory, in all his majesty, in all his kindness and goodness. And so we see the Messiah. But brothers and sisters, we also live by faith, just like those Old Testament saints do. Because we're betting on the same thing they are, that God is going to fulfill all his future promises to us. All those promises of when we pass on now, we go into the presence of the Lord, that our judgment is passed over, that Jesus paid for our sins, that we are adopted in the family of God. Those are all promises that are ours now, but we won't realize the full extent of those, plus the blessings beyond that that are in eternity. We're putting our trust in God. We're putting our trust in what he has done and promises to do. And those promises won't be fulfilled until the second coming and all is set straight again. So we too are walking in faith in that sense. We're looking forward to something that we have not seen, but we see types and shadows in the Word of God. And we say, I believe that. That's God's grace towards us. And having faith is not the ultimate determining factor in whether we struggle in this life, and there's a lot of sufferings that God has for us, or if we escape those struggles. Faith is not the ultimate determining factor. God is. God is. And he always has a purpose in whichever comes our way. He always has a purpose. It's not just to make you miserable or what. He's got a purpose, and it is for his glory. And we have to trust in that and hold on to that, that God is doing a work in us, a deep work, and we're going to trust him no matter what happens. Take a look at 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. How could the Red Sea part? How could the walls of Jericho come down? It was God. How did they survive all the other things, being tortured and thrown into the country destitute? God. He's coming back and saying, not us. It's this work of God within our hearts. The surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way and not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Boy, there's some victorious things happening right there. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. That people would see, you know what? Jesus is real. That's why the world wasn't worthy of those people. That they were a living example of the gospel, that Jesus is enough. No matter what happens, Jesus is enough. And he is worthy. He is so worthy. By grace, there's faith that conquers in the struggle. By God's grace, we are able to continue in our suffering. Either way, it's God's grace. Faith trusts and obeys God, leaving the results to his sovereignty and his wisdom as we treasure Jesus above anything on earth, and that includes life itself. We trust him. And I want you to know this, that God's ways are not our ways. We talked about this last week. So regardless of how it looks or ends, understand this, brothers and sisters. God is always winning. Always. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of you this day. Lord, we ask you to forgive us sometimes for questioning where your love is and your grace is when we're going through hard times. Lord, help us to see that you're empowering us to handle that and that you're in the midst of it. Lord, that when we look around us and we see the world coming apart, it's so easy to wonder, where are you, God? It looks like the enemy is winning. Lord, forgive us. You are always winning. You are carrying out your plan to all eternity. And so we worship you and we praise you. And we ask you this day, God, that you would continue to pour out your Spirit upon us. Give us the faith to trust in you and to walk in your Spirit so that the world would see you, Lord, and be amazed and humbled. Lord, we ask that you would do a miracle in us and through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.